Stand by. Is this thing on?
Yes, Dan.
Oh, hello.
You're listening to Old News with Dan and Carrie.
This just in.
Breaking news to report.
We are live.
Old newscasters reunite.
Can we just say former?
Sure. Former newscasters reunite behind the mic after more than 20 years.
Old news is good news.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to Old News with Dan and Carrie. I'm the Carrie part of Dan and Carrie.
And that would make me the Dan part of Dan and Carrie. And the other person we have today is the owner of Simply Creative Productions. She's really a storyteller. She's done a lot over the years. We used to work with her many years ago at Channel 27, and I worked with her for many, many years after that at a company called Tweedy Media Incorporated. That was our last name, right, Sandy? We had so many other names. She also worked at Channel 3, WISC-TV in Madison, and WKOW-TV in Madison, as I mentioned, and at KUSA in Denver, one of the top shooting photography news stations in the country. It's Sandy Kowal, everyone. Sandy, great to have you.
Great to be here.
So, and you're wearing, I see you're wearing your Simply Creative Productions t-shirt. Yep, there it is.
I like it. That's, I am always marketing.
Tell everybody what Simply Creative Productions is.
Well, if you look at our website, it looks like we have a cast of thousands.
You do.
But it's... really, it's me, and I get together the crews that I need to get the jobs done that I do. So if I'm doing a video production, let's say I'm shooting a TV commercial, then usually I direct those. So I would hire a cinematographer, hire a lighting crew, all that kind of stuff. Sometimes I hire the actors. It's different every day. If I'm shooting kind of a basic storytelling story, I'll go and shoot that, and I'll hire a field producer to come out and be my reporter, and I'll light it and take care of it. I also do some live streaming events. So one of them is kind of a pretty big one that I do every year, and it's five or six cameras streaming around the world. And I hire a whole array of people for that. And we bring in a lot of big actual television type cameras because it's such a big arena that we're in. So every day is different. And so I just basically hire who I need to get the jobs done. And I try to stay out of trouble.
What is the giant event that you stream every year?
It's the Epic Software Verona. They have a big users group meeting. So we broadcast not just to the inside screens in their giant theater that they have. It's like a 10,000 seat theater.
Oh my gosh.
But we also then broadcast to a bunch of satellite places in their campus. So thousands of people will watch it in other smaller theater groups. And then we also broadcast to America and Europe on the interwebs. Wow. And that way their clients and workers in Europe and around the country can wow, see the users group presentation.
So this is just cool. A slight step down from that for you, this Zoom technology.
It's just slightly smaller.
Just a little.
Yeah. And I don't have to call the cameras. So it's good.
That is nice.
It's really fun though. I mean, it's a really long process and stuff, but that's a fun event.
Mm-hmm. I remember you were doing that back in the day. Carrie knows this, but people who are listening don't know that Sandy and I worked together at Tweedy Media, and Carrie, Sandy's probably the only other person that I used to sing with outside of my sisters, you know, in the office than you. So Sandy and I were also singing partners in the office, but
and in the car.
Right, in the car. And she's been doing that Epic show for many, many years. So we would basically lose Sandy for a while in there because, you know, Epic, I don't know if you know this, but they're a pretty big company. They're kind of a big deal. So she'd take care of that for quite a while and did such a great job. She's been doing it for so long. But
doing it like 20 some years now.
Wow.
I did their very first streaming event, which was in downtown Madison at the Civic Center then. And we were broadcasting via a cable that was running across State Street into the Orpheum.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, imagine all those ropes you had to jump through. But that was the very first one we did. And it was just a little teeny tiny thing. And we got a satellite uplink because we had to uplink it back to the Verona campus from downtown Madison. Wow. So it was a big deal.
Well, and then anyone who's ever been in a doctor's office, you know, it's like they said, let me check your chart. And then here comes the Epic logo and every, that, you know, that software, it's in every doctor's office now. or
Yeah,
many.
it really
Maybe
is.
not
It's
every,
around the
but many.
world. So,
Interesting.
Sandy, was your first job in TV, was it WKOW, or were you working in TV at another station before KOW?
Well, Dan, there was a
Let's
dark and
take you
stormy night.
back.
Yeah, I started working at WKOW in the production department when there were still like floor crew people. So I used to run camera, I ran prompter, I ran the CG generator with all the little names in it, and I was an assistant director, and I realized that this was okay. It was a little part-time job, you know, but it was okay. But I knew I wasn't going to be making a living because I didn't want to be a 24/7 TV news director. It just didn't seem fun to me. I wasn't really creative in the way I like to be creative. So I was kind of trying to figure out what I was going to do. And the news department lost one of their news photographers. They like moved on someplace. And so they were looking for someone. And I was freelancing, taking still photos of employees at Channel 27. And the chief photographer came in and I was taking his picture and he's like, "Oh, you're a photographer. Oh, well, would you ever be interested in shooting news, shooting video?" And I was like, "Yeah." So essentially he walked me through the whole thing. I mean, I had shot some video in college. It was just starting video was just kind of a thing that was starting at the college I was going to. And so I had barely used the video stuff. I had shot film. And so he just was walking me through, see, because they made me go in the parking lot and shoot some stuff and then come in and edit it together. And so he stood behind me in the cracked door and he's like, "Press the orange button, press the red button." You know, he
Is
just
that
like
Greg
walked me
Sheehy?
through it so that I could make a 30-second video out of this stuff I shot in the parking lot. And the news director said, "Great, you've got the job. We'll train you." So
Oh,
I
that's
learned
nice.
what I do now for the rest of my life. And the newsroom at Channel 27.
And was that Greg Sheehy, who was
It
the chief
was
photographer?
Greg.
It was
Yeah, I blame
Greg.
him.
Oh my gosh, where it
So he
all
talked a
began.
lot quieter than that. It was more
Yes.
touch the orange button.
Yeah, it was really quiet. Yeah. I mean, he was great. He really wanted me to get the job. And because I think he really wanted to get more women involved, you know, in the news product behind the scenes like that. And I was for the longest time one of two women who were video photographers for news in Madison. Now there's many more of us out there. So it's not as unusual, but I would show up at jobs and people would do a double take like, "You're a girl." And I'd be like, "Yeah,
What?
I am." Nobody told me.
So, was photojournalism kind of in your mind when you were younger, going to school or anything like that, or was it just kind of more like it developed out of getting the job at 27?
It kind of developed out of 27, but I first thought about doing it when I was in high school and we had a TV reporter come in from a Green Bay station to my careers class that day. And she was talking about how much fun it is and the teamwork you do. And they were up in Upper Michigan shooting a story that day. So they were driving back to the station and were able to stop. And I thought, "Oh, this is kind of fun, something I might be interested in doing." So then I went on a ride along at that station in the summer. I took a day and went down to I think they were in Green Bay, and I hooked up with her and a photographer, and I thought, "I could be a photographer. I could do this." And so it kind of got the seed got planted, but I didn't know how to make that happen. Wow.
And I have to pause because there's some activity behind your head in the form of a bird. Can
Oh,
you
that's
tell us about
Elvis.
your bird? Elvis?
Elvis, he's an African gray. He's being a very good boy right now, so I really
Oh,
don't want to bother him. But
yes.
when he gets a little lower, you can see him more. But he's gray, obviously, and he's got a flashing bright red tail.
And is
So
he the one that talks?
he talks, he sings, he's got a great vocabulary. And he mostly knows old sitcom music. So, you know, like he's into Petticoat Junction right now. He's heavy duty into that.
Come ride the little train that is rolling down the tracks to the junction. Forget about your cares, it is time to relax at the junction. Lots of curves, you bet, and even more when when you get to the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
It was Mission Impossible has been sneaking in the last couple of days. But and then there's the famous Pop Goes the Weasel because he likes the pop part of it.
Oh,
so
my
he likes
gosh.
To get to that part where he'll hustle up to get there. And you have to do your part too. And then he wants to be the one to do the pop. So he plans it so that he ends up getting the pop.
Unbelievable. And don't they live like 60 years or something?
Yeah, 60, 65. It depends.
How old is he?
He will be 24 on Halloween.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool. All right.
Still a young man.
I just had to find out.
Well, so he knows Petticoat Junction. Does he know the music to Petticoat Junction, or does he know like Here Comes Uncle Joe and he's moving? I mean, what?
No,
what
he just knows the music. So he'll whistle the melody and everything. Okay. And I can over here behind my shoulder, you see that organ?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
It's our big entertainment. I play the organ. So I'll play Petticoat Junction on the organ or other various songs that, we've come up with. And he'll participate. So I'll either get the guitar out and he'll sing along with that or the organ. He's very musical. He really, really likes music.
That's
just like
incredible.
His owner.
I was going to say, yeah, because we even had a Channel 27 band for one event for Madison Cares when we formed a band. Pretty much anybody who wanted to play an instrument, we did our Beatles music, practiced at your house. You were on drums, right?
Yeah.
And we did, and our... our name, of course, the Human Genome Project. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Those
were the days.
Those were the days.
That was really fun, though. I enjoyed
it. It was really fun.
That was one of the many bands Sandy has been part of, because now you're in another band. I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but you're starting a new band right now, right?
You are.
Yep. Back prior to COVID, I was in a band called the Sigourney Weavers, and we did a CD, and we used to play around Madison. It was really fun.
They were very good.
And then I'm in a band that we only play pride events. So we like played a gay pride event up in Green Bay a year ago or so. And so this band that is kind of getting rolling is kind of an offshoot of that band. There's a couple of us who really like playing together. So we have a threesome right now. So we're kind of just seeing where it goes and kind of just staying in touch and in practice. So in case we suddenly have to do another event, because they do come up quick sometimes. Then we're ready.
Cool. That's
are you doing originals or covers for that, Sandy?
This one is covers. I like doing originals, but for the Pride band, I'll call we do covers for that. Mm-hmm. So we kind of want to come up with some covers that we could do that we could use in that if we needed to.
Music has always been important to you, right? I mean, as long as I've known you, you were very musical. Were you musical growing up and through high school and all that?
Oh, yeah. I had I, of course, was in the band in grade school and high school. I played the cornet. And then that wasn't really very fulfilling. I got kind of tired of the cornet. So I decided with my high school boyfriend that we were going to start a rock band. So first we called ourselves Heavy Leather. We played like heavy rock and roll. Like
Joan Jett
stuff. Yeah. Like AC/DC from the 80s, that kind of thing. Okay. And then we kind of changed our name to High Voltage because we figured we could get those high voltage signs and put those up when we played.
Nice.
So that really caused the name of the band to change. And then we got a couple more instrumentalists to join us. And it was fun. We played around kind of the Marinette, Wisconsin area. We played some gigs out there and, wasn't really a big deal, but it was really fun. So yeah, I've pretty much always played music or wrote songs and,
Mm-hmm. So she's kind of like Wayne Newton. She plays the drums, she plays the cornet, she plays the guitar, the organ.
Compared to him. That's
what I thought. But you were never on the Lucille Ball show, so
No, I
something
was
good happened.
not. I cannot
Yeah,
claim that.
I digress. Hey, so you were at KOW for shooting news until what, like 92 the first time?
Yeah, 92, I left. I was lucky enough to get a job at KUSA in Denver.
Yeah.
So I went there, and my big hope someday was to be a chief news photographer in a major market. So I went there with that in mind, that I'm going to just learn everything I can learn. So unfortunately, I was hired to be one of the photogs for the morning show. So that meant you had to be there super early in the morning, and you had to edit for all the stuff for the morning show. There was an editor also, so the three of us would edit the whole 2-hour show, and then one of us would go out and do a live shot. What they had engineers who would run the live truck then, so you would just show up, hook up your camera, light it, and go and do your live shots. And then you'd come back, and then you would get assigned a story for the day. Most of the time, I did feature stories when I got back from my morning stuff. Because my shift was done by 1 in the afternoon, so I had to, everything I had to do was like in the morning. So I would kind of be one of those people where I'd shoot one day, and then a day or two later I'd be editing, but I shot a couple of days before. So I did that for a couple of years, and then I thought I was going to die, because those hours are not for me.
We
So
are familiar.
I said to my
So wait a minute.
supervisor,
When you hired us to do the morning show, you knew what you were putting us into.
I did.
Thank
Oh yeah.
you.
These fools.
I said to my boss, I said, I need you to hear me. I need to get off the shift. And if you can't help me get a different shift or tell me I'm going to get one eventually, then I'm going to have to look for another job. So I'm not saying it as a threat. I'm just saying that I can't do this shift anymore. I got to do something else. It's killing me. So a week later, I was working the night shift. So that was good.
Oh, it
Yeah.
worked. It
It
worked.
did. He just arranged everybody to make me get a shift that wasn't the morning. So thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. So I did that for a while, and then I eventually moved on to the investigative unit. And so I did most of my pieces then were always future pieces, and I did a lot of undercover work. And I even had to be played some parts in some little sting operations that we had done.
Oh my
Fun.
gosh. What are some of the ones you remember?
One of them, I played a welfare mom who was trying to get some food stamps without really registering, because we had heard through the grapevine that they weren't doing it correctly at the county level, giving out welfare benefits to people. So I was chosen to go in as the welfare mom and tell my really sad story of how I moved from Wisconsin with my boyfriend, and he was a jerk, and he took the checkbook, and blah blah blah. I work at the Taco Bell over by my apartment building, and so I used my real life and my situation, so I
Right, you're
could,
right.
when I'm talking about places, they were real. And I actually teared up a little bit in there for it, and the lady felt so bad for me that she said, "Sit here for a second." And I thought, I am so screwed, I am so busted. She
Oh
knows
my.
I'm wearing a microphone right now, And but she didn't. She came back and she gave me $80 in food stamps, and she said, "Here, go get some food for you and your kids for tonight.
Wow.
And I'll get your paperwork through, and we'll get you going, but this will get you started."
Oh.
And then I just felt like a complete jerk.
Right,
Yeah.
because she was seemed so kind.
Yeah,
Yeah.
she was just trying to be nice, and I was lying. And but unfortunately, that's what people were doing. They were going in there and lying and getting food stamps, and then they couldn't just the county couldn't justify it, So when I got out of the office and with my little packet of food stamps, I came out and we turned them over to the district attorney's office. So I did not keep the food stamps, but and I really hope that lady didn't lose her job, because I thought about it afterwards, like, oh, but I'm sure she's not the only one doing it there. They're just trying to help out people in need, and but you got to do it the right way.
When
So
we've
that
talked to
was
other
one.
people.
There's another one. I was on sitting in an empty van on the street in some janky neighborhood, and I got to the they dropped me off and put me in the van in the afternoon. Sounds like I was kidnapped, but that's not how it happened. So I was in the van. I
Was
had to
there
stay in
candy
there until it
involved?
got dark. The cops were going to show up, and they were going to do a giant drug bust at this house and drag people out of it. And we were the only TV station that was going to be there to capture the big bust. And it ended up that they parked my van in a slightly bad place. And I didn't have a good shot because they went in and came out and it was like that and it was over. And I'm like, where's the lights? Where's the sirens? Where's. So it was the worst video ever. It was just like a dark city street with people walking around on it. It was dumb. But, story of, working undercover.
Yeah,
Well,
really.
you said something before, though, that other people have talked about too. And it's one of those things that I don't know if a lot of people think about it when they think about the news business, but like you had to put yourself into a position there as the welfare mom, and then you're dealing with some people who are trying to be good people, but and then you walk out of there and you feel bad about it. And that happens probably more often than people really realize when you're working in the news business, whether you're covering a story, just spot news or an investigative piece like that, right? I mean, did you have other instances like that?
I mean, one of the hardest things for me was like violent crimes. And I know, like in Madison, I had seen like the big Aaron Lynn shooting down at the City County Building. I was there that day. I was one of the photographers on the scene, and they're bringing people out and gurneys and stuff, and it's very dramatic. It's very tense. In the moment, though, you're working and you're not thinking about it, but it's when you leave that it kind of hits you, like, oh, that was the shooter that just came out, and oh, that the people because you're in that building every day working, and so it really impacts you that I know these people who are really injured or dead in this case too. Another weird one for me was in Denver, since I did the morning show overnight, there were usually, if somebody's going to get shot or killed or something, it's going to be in the overnight hours. So I got sent out to a prostitute was killed and they just left her on the middle of the street. So when I got there, they didn't have her covered. So okay, what do you do with that? You carry that around with you for the rest of your life because you can't not see that. It's there now. You've seen it. So there's a lot of things like that where it does impact you and it is stressful, but I always thought that whatever I was doing was for the greater good of trying to help the community, trying to inform people. So if you have to see or do be in a place like that where you really don't want to see the body or whatever it is, it's just part of the job and you have to do it in order to be successful and tell a story.
How
So
did you cope mentally with everything? Were there, like, did you do yoga, meditation, or like, how did you unwind after, a stressful day like that at work?
I did a lot of working out. So I would go to the health club and do my regime because I had to stay in pretty good physical shape too because the gear was kind of heavy, and so that really helped. And it also helped to be able to have the camaraderie or commiserate with other people on the job because everybody has been in those positions if you go out into the field at all. So it just helps to talk about it.
When you had your music too, that's
Yeah, and I
another
have my
outlet for
music,
you too. And so you stayed in Denver then until what, mid-90s, and then came back to
Yeah, I think it
KOW?
was 96. I think I came back in June of 96, I think it was.
Yeah,
And
and
I came
people should
back as
know. I mean, KUSA is like one of those stations we've talked to. We talked to Bill Shirk about this up in Minnesota and Rena in Minnesota. KUSA was one of those stations that was known as a shooter station. I mean, good shooters go to
I
KUSA.
referred to it when I took the job to explain it to my family as this is like going to the Olympics. This is my Olympics. I get to go here. And I'm going to go there for as long as I can be there. And I'm going to go. And so I went there with the full intention of being a chief photographer someplace someday. And this is going to be a great stepping stone. I was the regional chair for the National Press Photographers Association out there. I was really working on that. And then my mom got sick. So then I had to come back to Wisconsin. So I thought, well, let me just see if anything's going on. So I called the news director, Andy Bohag, at the time. And I said, hey, and he and I were very close when I worked here the first time. And I said, "Do you have any openings at the station, or do you know of anything in town? Because I got to move back to Wisconsin. I really want to live in Madison." And he said, "Well, actually, yes, I have an executive producer position open. Would you like to interview for it?" And I said, "Yes, I would. Thank you. I'm going to be in town on these days. Could I talk to you?" And he said, "Yes, that would be great." So I came
Serendipity.
in and met everybody, reacquainted myself with most people who were still there because it's a great place to be. And met the new general manager and all of that. And Andy offered me the job. And so I took it. I literally took it. I was just like, it paid really not well, but it paid enough so that I could come back to Wisconsin
Really? It didn't pay
and be
well.
with my mom.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know. What a surprise. Didn't make any money here.
Yeah, chief photographer was on your radar of something you wanted to do, but how about, executive producer, was that ever on
Was
your
not on my
radar?
radar. And actually shortly after I came back to Wisconsin and took the job and was settled in, was just about to buy this wonderful house that I live in. I got a job offer to be chief photographer in Phoenix.
Oh my goodness.
So I flew to Phoenix and I told
Oh.
Andy, "I'm going to Phoenix because I have to do this."
Yeah.
And so then and it was for an old news director that I used to work with in Madison. And so it didn't work out the first time because I knew what I should get paid to be in Phoenix at that position. And he didn't really want to pay that much. And I said, "Okay, well, then it's just not going to work out. I'm fine in Madison." So, I moved here for my mom, whatever. So I come back and I say to Andy, "I'm not taking the job." And he's like, "Okay." And then about 2 weeks later, that guy calls me back from Phoenix. "Okay, I'll pay you what you want. Will you take the job?" And I said, "I can't take the job. I'm staying here because my mom told me I'm not moving to Phoenix with you." So then I'm like, "Well, then I'm not going to Phoenix." Career decision made. So I don't really regret it. My life would be completely different now. I understand that, but I would have not had some really great years with my mom. And I really wanted to help her and be a part of her final journey. So this allowed me to be there for her and to play that role and help. And so I feel great about myself because of that. And I would have felt crappy about myself if I would have taken that job and left her in Wisconsin. So
Well, and
that's
she
why.
needed you around emotionally and physically too. So, I mean, obviously that was the right decision for you guys.
Yeah, it
So,
was the right decision. And then eventually I talked to through different news directors. I was the interim news director here in Madison. And so finally, when the final news director, oh, there was another one, but like when Todd Pritchard was hired, I said to Todd, "I know you can't give me a raise, that I'm going to get one, but it's going to be like whatever, it's not going to be a lot of money. So I'd like my title changed to assistant news director." So he said, "That sounds good to me."
Oh, good idea.
So yeah, so I became the first official assistant news director at the station. So I'm really proud of that too, because we never had that position. And it's kind of one of those things like, well, why not? We have a million newscasts. We should have somebody who is here to shepherd things when Todd is not, other than an executive producer. So that was good. So that was pretty sweet. And then I worked on special projects and did remote broadcast directing and stuff like that too.
Well, and
So
we
that was
refer to
fun.
the time period when Andy was the news director and then you were the interim news director for a little bit as the golden era of working in news for us because you let us operate like we wanted to operate, right? And I mean, not that you like we were,
When you weren't doing anything wrong,
no, we weren't doing anything
Was
wrong.
right.
But
You gave us a creative
you gave us
freedom
some creative freedom, and
within
that was
general bounds.
nice.
Like we'd be
And so
like,
did
"Hey, Danny,
Todd.
can we do this?" And most of the time you said, yeah. I mean, you'd say no if it was something zany that we
Well, we had a lot
shouldn't
of
do.
stupid ideas too, but
We had some good, like that. My favorite one was when you guys all went ice skating and you did the whole show live from the ice skating rink. That was
That
my
was a good
favorite morning
one.
show ever because really that's what people remember. They remember those moments. They remember that the personalities and that you guys really get along, and then they get a little news in there, and they really care about the weather anyway at that time of the day.
So it's a
So
perfect way to show the weather.
it is perfect way to show the weather, and you guys really had a lot of fun.
And
We
I think
sure
Carrie
did.
did a triple sal cow too on
It sounded crazy.
the
At the end, it was just like crazy. I'm like, "Look,
My
what's going on? This is
yeah,
great."
my little spin I learned on Lake Geneva, Wisconsin from my mom. It's the only thing I could do. Do one single spin.
Way to go, Peg. Way to go.
Yeah,
She taught you.
thanks,
She taught
Peg.
you
You know, it's
well.
funny because like you're playing that, like I essentially left you alone to do what you knew what you were doing. And that's really what my whole goal was when I took the management position, was I wanted to try to be the manager that I always wished I had. And so I took kind of the best from a bunch of different people, and I was trying to be like, let people do what they want to do, give them a lot of rope, let them explore, let them, because you all care about what you're doing. It doesn't matter what shift you're working, you're caring about what you're doing, or we wouldn't have hired you. And so that was a pretty big deal for me to just try to be more thoughtful in how I say things, and but be direct with people also.
Well, you did a wonderful job. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Sandy.
You can keep your jobs.
So then you left, though, you left 27 and then started your own business. What was that, the early 2000s, or about, just to get the
It was
timeline down here?
2002. It was my last hurrah was the 1 year anniversary of 9/11. I went to New York with the satellite truck, and we did a bunch of stuff with all the stations in our group. And so that was fun. And then but I had pretty much run the gamut of my life isn't creative enough. I wasn't It took me a long time to figure out why I wasn't happy. And it wasn't just because I wasn't making any money. It was because I wasn't really telling stories. I was managing people. So not that I don't like people, but it's not really creative like telling stories. And because when you're shooting news, it's like you do a little tiny movie every day. Here's your little minute 30 movie that you're putting together the best you can. And so that to me was fun and creative. And I was always looking to shoot and produce little special projects because at least I would get some of that. And I just thought, I know I'm not happy. I got to do what I'm happy. And they hired a news director, and it wasn't like we didn't see eye to eye. I just didn't think that person was really understanding what was going on. And I thought, I don't want to do your job and my job and not be having any fun. So I need to do something else. And so I kind of just quit without a plan.
So you didn't
Sometimes
have
you
your
just got to
business
jump.
in mind. Oh.
Yeah, and that's what I did. I mean, at that point, I wasn't married yet, but I was in a relationship that was going to be my long-term relationship. And so I was able to not have to have a paycheck briefly. And so then after thinking about it and wondering what should I do with my life, I thought, I'm just going to go, and I'm going to buy equipment, and I'm going to see if I can make this work and see if people will hire me. And then once people heard that I was doing this now, then the work started to come in, and I kept pretty busy, and I paid off my gear in the first year. I felt that I was really, really fortunate, to be able to do that. And I made a lot of great connections, and I would get a lot of great referrals. And I took a little part-time gig once a week at Channel 3, filling in for a news photographer who needed a break so that she could be a mom
That's
that
right.
one
I
day if
forgot
she
you
was
did
needed.
that. Yeah.
And so that kind of got me in the door over there, and I got hooked up with their production wing that they had at the time. And that brought me a lot of more creative work, long form work. That
Oh,
was really
great.
what I enjoy doing. So so it was it worked out great.
And then when
I
did
met
you
up
hook
with
up
this
with,
goofy guy and
I was
Greg.
going to say, when did you hook up with Dan and Greg at Tweety
This
Productions?
is how they sucked me in. They said, "Don't you want to share office space with us? You probably should have an office." And I said, "I don't know if I need an
Not
office." And
really.
they said, "Well, you could share an office with Dan." And I thought, "Okay, I'm in."
You had,
So that
we had
I
you at
paid my 90
Dan.
bucks a month to have this partial office space with Dan. And we would just hire each other to do jobs. I'd hire Dan or Greg to do something with me, and then they'd hire me to do something with them, and we'd just be pushing invoices back and forth. And then it finally was just ridiculous. Like, why don't we just join up together? We all get along. We all have the same kind of work ethic. We all like to do the same type of stories. Let's just see if we can make this work. And so we hired Mac Charlton to be our sales guy, be kind of the face of Tweety and go out and do networking and that type of stuff. And we hired Steve Donovan to be an editor for us. And he brought us up to a whole new level because he's a super creative guy. And then we chugged along pretty good there for a while. It's a slow start, and it was scary at times, but we worked through it, and here we are today.
Yeah, I always
We're
liked it
still
when you had
alive.
me join you for things like Sandy. Remember, we did all the technical college stuff. We
Oh,
went up and did a bunch of features on some of the programs they did. I loved doing that stuff.
yeah, it was really fun. It was fun storytelling. I like stories where it's all in somebody else's words, you know, because you have to be more creative in the field thinking.
Yeah. Well, and Sandy and I both have an affinity for Elvis, so that obviously with her bird being named Elvis, that was one reason I was okay with her being in the office with me too. So,
That's
no, we
where
were
we
lucky
learned
to
that
have
our
her.
life is a musical. We would just sing all day.
We were just lucky to have each other, I think, in a lot of ways, because we all did get along and we all liked the same type of work, and we had that common knowledge, and that's why we do this show too, Carrie. Like, you know, we have that common bond of having worked in the trenches in the news business, right? So you kind of understood each other from being tested in the fire, so to speak. And so I think that's one of the reasons we always joked that it was, you know, we were kind of like the, you know, Channel 27's closet, because you had to have worked at Channel 27 to work for Tweety at that time.
Yeah, that's what we used to tell people. Have you ever
So
worked
yeah,
at Channel 27? Oh, I'm sorry. You can't work there
it's
anymore.
not going to work out.
We never said that in interviews, though.
But
Disclaimer.
we would joke about it though. We did
Yeah.
have somebody who didn't work at 27, and we told
We
her
did.
she had to get hired so she could get fired and work here.
That's right. Just
Yeah.
go or
Just
intern
a
for like a
day.
day.
Just gotta put in a
Just
day.
yeah.
Well,
And then, oh, go
no,
ahead,
go
Dan.
ahead. I was gonna just say,
Yeah.
did you end up were you did you work on the documentary with us, or did you come after that? You did,
No, I did.
Carrie.
I shot that old lady in the stands.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Gosh, she was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did some audio parts of it for you, but that was kind of my chunk of shooting. I think I did a
Yeah.
couple other little pickups, but that was like the story I got to be a part of.
And was that the
And
red zone that you're talking about?
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the red zone.
In the red zone. And you and Carrie were part of the most famous viral story we ever did. And Carrie has talked about
Millions.
this before,
And
but
I'm not
you
kidding,
shot it.
millions of hits. And well,
Yeah.
I checked today before we did this interview. I went on YouTube to try to find the Turkey Testicle Festival, 1.5 million views. And then it was Dan's voice leading off, sponsored by In
Visit also
the Red
sponsored
Zone.
by In the Red Zone, the history of Camp Randall.
And
Very
then
well, nice
Sandy
to
and
meet
I
you.
were at the
In the
Turkey
Red
Testicle
Zone.
Festival, and I
Where
have
was that?
forgotten.
Somewhere in Illinois.
Cheer on
It's
Thanksgiving
Huntley,
Eve.
Illinois.
Huntley, Illinois.
Thousands of people flock to
And
Huntley,
I
Illinois
had
on
no, I mean, I
Thanksgiving
live
Eve,
not
the
far
about
from, I
50 miles
lived
northwest
not
of
far from there.
Chicago.
And
They
my
are here
friend
to lay
Caroline,
hands
who
on the
was
turkey
featured
they are
in that
unlikely to
story,
enjoy
she
on
was the one
Thanksgiving
going,
Day.
it's
Welcome
ooey,
to the Turkey
gooey.
Testicle Festival.
Deep fry.
But she's the
Turkey did not taste
one.
bad. So anyway, for people who
Yeah.
don't know, it's a big festival where people
Yes.
come and eat fried turkey testicles. It tastes kind of like a juicy fried mushroom, like a
That's a
bowling
good
alley that you
description.
get. And
Yes.
of course, they drank a lot of beer. And Carrie and
Yes.
I wandered around and interviewed them and got them to eat it in front of us, which was interesting. But I ate a
Nice.
number of them. They weren't that bad.
No, I ate some as well. And then the hot tip we got in that story, and we'll link the story in the show notes, by the way, if you want to see it. But eat the small ones, because those are not as explosive.
I've heard that it's better to go for the small ones. So I have sought a small one.
Yes.
In your mouth. The small ones are
That's
a
a
little
pro
more
tip.
crispy.
Pro tip from Carrie Kogan. Pro
Pro
tip.
tip.
Maybe it's
Pro
time for you
tip.
guys to revise that story, go back and do, you know, Turkey Testicle Festival
See if
20
any
years
people ever
later.
come back for a second time.
I don't
Oh,
know.
well, my friend Caroline goes every single, it's like all the friends in the area. That's just the annual tradition. And I mean, that's how I first learned about it because they're like, what? You've never heard of it? I'm like, what? No, what is this? And then I was like, Dan, we need to do a story.
You were living in Illinois at that time, I think, weren't you? Like
Yes, I
in
was
was that
very close. I was
the
like
Lake in the Hills or
15 minutes
something?
away or something. Yeah.
Well, that was an interesting story. Well, and then you did a couple others too, didn't you, for us, for like Just Visit Us? That was that we had tried to start a website at one time, a travel website. Did you do a couple others too?
I did a, I remember shooting with my phone, like pelicans dive bombing in South Carolina. I kind of put together my own montages, but I don't think I did an official story with Sandy or nothing.
I did a bunch of them on my own when I'd go on vacation.
Yes, that's what I
Yeah,
was
when I went
doing.
to Florida, I shot like a couple packages or stories down in Florida, and then I went to Hawaii and I shot a couple packages
I
out in
remember that.
Hawaii. Yeah, so I would try to use my vacation so I could somehow write off my travel as an expense.
Smart.
No taxes, so
And so
no.
let's wrap this all up. Today you are still doing it. You're still
Still
out there
going.
producing videos,
Still
doing
going.
stories, but kind of at your own pace, I would think.
Yep. I think things that have changed is that I'm not out there like beating the sticks, trying to come up with some type of thing to keep me busy every day. I got to get this. I got to shoot that. I'm more working with clients that I've had long term. And they pretty much sustain me. And then if I get some referral work or I see somebody who I think might need a video to market themselves, and I will suggest that I do a video for them. And I will do it either for free or depending on who they are, you know, if it's a nonprofit, I want to help them, that kind of thing. So I do things now more because I want to do them and not because I got to get some work. So I'm really lucky to be kind of at that place in my career where I'm making an okay amount of money and I can help people and things through what I'm good at. And so
That's
it's a good feeling.
it sure is. Well, and it's very similar to what Todd Vasky told us. He's doing something very similar because I said, "How many employees do you have?" And he said, "Me." But he's doing exactly what you're doing, is to, you know, you're able to hire the photographers or, you know, these different people that you probably turn to time and time again. You have that rapport, you're providing extra work for them, and then you don't have to have everyone, you know, it like in the office trying to support them. You call upon them when you need them.
Yeah, it works out great. I think it's a good business model for nowadays.
Yeah, it seems to be where things have gone. And that gives you time for, like you said, for your band, for Bigfoot hunting, all of that other things that those things that you like to do. She really does like to hunt Bigfoot. So that's a
You
whole
do?
nother
I do.
podcast,
Yeah,
Carrie.
that's another podcast.
Oh, man.
Got some interesting stories.
That
That's
we
for
you,
another day.
I know there's
Oh,
probably
what a
tons of
tea.
podcasts out there on that. Yeah.
Yeah,
No kidding.
yeah.
So and Sandy, when I do this podcast with Carrie, we always talk about first job, worst job, a job you might still be thirsting for. You told us about your first job way back at Channel 27. Do you have a worst job or a worst experience over the years that you can recount for us?
I think the worst job was not in TV news. It was when I used to work for this drugstore, and the guy was like, "You do such a great job clerking and everything. I need you to clean the bathrooms too." That was the worst job.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah. It's more
That's
hours for you. Wouldn't that be great? I know you're going to college.
what they call
Awesome.
a shit sandwich. You're so good
Yeah.
at this, now do that, but you are
Yeah.
good at this. And then how about something you still want to do, or have you done it all now?
Wow. I just want to help people. That's kind of what I want to do. I want to, you know, contribute in a way that enriches other people's lives, and I can feel good about that. So that's kind of what I think there was actually a moment. I told you, I know I asked you not to ask me this question, but I came up with one while you
Oh,
were.
good.
So
The
go ahead and ask
blooper.
me. I'm ready.
Okay, we're ready. Hey, Sandy, the question I like to ask everybody is, are there bloopers or funny things or embarrassing moments you still remember? Wasn't that natural?
You know, there was this one time, Carrie and Dan, when I got this call late in the afternoon, and that friend of mine who runs a big production truck, he was up in Green Bay and he was producing a national concert that this genius kid who plays the piano was doing up in Green Bay. And he needed a stage director to come on up and just run the backstage because it was just like, probably like 10 cameras and all these people. And they had like background singers from Motown and they had an orchestra and this kid on this giant piano. What are the giant pianos, Carrie?
Grand piano? Are you
Yes, he was
grand
on a
piano?
grand piano. And his coach, like his instructor, was Billy Joel's piano guy.
Oh boy.
So this
Oh.
kid was good. And this guy's like, I've never seen anybody play so good as this kid. So, I'm hanging out with them. And then we go to tape it. And the host of this whole thing is a former TV personality from Green Bay. And she's, telling everybody what's going on, is going to introduce the show. And then they say to me, before we get going, so this is me. I've never stage directed before this. I only like am in the booth with the TD and stuff. We need you to go out there and warm up the crowd because we have to get some shots of people clapping and reacting and looking happy.
Just like you're in a sitcom.
Yeah. So they look at me like, so can you do that? Can you go out there and just make that happen and get everybody in this audience? I mean, there were literally like 1,000 people out there. It was packed.
Let me dip into my material
I
and
was
see what
just
I
like, I
got.
don't know if I could do this. I don't think I could do this. And the TV lady from Green Bay, she's like, oh, you can do this. It's not that hard. You could do this. And then I was just like, oh, good Lord. And so finally she's like, I can do it. I'm
Yes.
like, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. She's like, are you sure? I got this. So then what happens is I get a microphone now. And I've got my little headset on because I'm supposed to be just behind the scenes. So I'm talking to everybody and everybody's talking to me. And I say, I go out there and I'm like, hi, everybody. I'm Sandy and I'm the stage director. You don't normally see me, but I'm out here to get you warmed up. And I turned into Kevin Craig. I'm telling you, I just suddenly was like on. Somebody like lit my butt on fire. I was hysterically funny. I was getting them to like all applaud. Oh my gosh, I don't even know who I was. I was like outside of my body. It was insane, but it was the most fun I've ever had. But I thought I
You,
was going to
ma'am,
throw
where
up.
are you from?
Yeah, that's what I was like that. Hey, you kids, are you a group? Let's get those kids on camera. It was just hysterically funny. I was like, who am I? But it worked out great. And they were like telling me on my headsets, you got to calm down a little bit. Yeah.
Like too much. No one would be
Yeah.
laughing that hard in the audience during the
They're like,
show.
okay,
Yeah,
let's
let's
go.
go. Oh, we got, I, no,
You're going to
we
make
don't
the
have
real,
enough. Hang on.
yeah, you're going to make the real act look bad. You're just too good. You're too good. I can't
So
go
yeah,
on.
so that was I thought I was going to throw up here on stage, but
Well,
you know what? It all worked out.
if you have any footage of that, please send that to us so we can put that in the YouTube version of Sandy running around like she's on the Ellen show.
I think I was hysterically funny, maybe just in my own mind, but it worked out.
I think you're legendary. I know
Well,
you're legendary.
Sandy Kowal of Simply Creative Productions, you missed your calling as an onstage comedian. Just think of what you could have been.
Know. Look at me now.
Well,
Oh,
thanks for
so
doing the
good.
show with us.
Good catching up
Yes.
with you guys.
And congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
All
Thank
right.
you.
See ya.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to Old News with Dan and Carrie.
That's old news for now.
Join us next time.